Right. Yeah, he's a bit scary, Ezekiel. I think he might upset a few of us if he was here. We like reading him from a distance, don't we? Because that's kind of safe. But anyway, how is your heart? That's what this morning's about. So, last week, we had an all-age, so we didn't actually talk about it, but in the Lent course, you would have been considering, if you're doing it, our minds and the transformation of our minds as we know more about God and about Jesus, as we study and we meditate and we inform our minds about him. But if that's where we stay, then we are not being great disciples. Remember that we also need our head, and we need our hands, and we need our heart to all be in alignment, to all be working together if our discipleship is going to be effective. It is incredibly possible to know about God, to have studied the Bible, to have any number and any level of degrees in theology, and yet not know God. We sometimes talk, don't we, about the knowledge of God having to travel 12 inches before it becomes effective. It has to travel from here to here before we really get it. And so today we're thinking about our heart, because it's only when our hearts are in line with God's heart that we are walking as disciples of his. And you know, so often in church, as in the world, we focus on competence, on how good we are at something. And it's not wrong to want to be the best that we are able to be at a particular thing. But character is so much more important. Who we are in the privacy of our own homes shapes everything about how we live. And character is in your heart. It comes from your heart. And in your heart, you carry your passions and your desires and your hopes and your dreams. And so we need our hearts to be aligned with Christ, who was compassionate, prayerful, broken for the poor, and he was sinless. And it's in our hearts that we find our dark side, that sinful nature as well. We use Psalm 51 as our confession earlier. And in verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." As David was convicted, he was desperate for God to move and to cleanse his heart. And as our heart is purified, cleansed by God, then we can choose to pursue holiness and faith and love and peace. Now, the last time I preached, I introduced you to Heidi Baker, who most of you didn't know. But that's okay. I'm hoping that a few more of you... Oh, no. Gone past that one and that one. There you go. Well, no, this lady. This lady is Jackie Pullinger. She's she's another one of my heroes, but I'm trying not to have Christian heroes. We had a big conversation about famous Christians. But she is an amazing lady, if you know anything about her. And she says this. She says, God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble is that so many of us have hard hearts and soft feet. And essentially what she's saying, and she's talking about our hearts and our hands, or our feet here, and we'll be thinking about our feet or our hands next week. But we're thinking about soft hearts today. But what she's saying is that actually so many of us have hard feet because we don't do anything, we don't go anywhere. We're actually head Christians and not heart Christians or hand Christians. And so we need soft hearts. And our reading from Ezekiel, God says he's going to give us a heart of flesh, a soft heart, not a heart of stone. And that's a heart that reflects Jesus. Heart of somebody who is constantly filled with compassion for the lost and the hurting. There are so many passages, and I'll read a couple. So Luke 7:13, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep," as he raised the son of the widow of Nain. In Matthew 15, Jesus called his disciples and he said, "I feel compassion for the people because they've remained with me for 3 days now and have nothing to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry," as he fed the 5,000. And full of healings, healing men with leprosy and blind and demon-possessed because of compassion, giving them back their lives. Matthew 9, he says, seeing the people, he felt compassion because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 23, which I love this idea as Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and he says, as he's entering Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to die, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often have I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But the people were unwilling." And there's such a picture of love and compassion as Jesus wants to gather his children. As Jesus imagined, as he wants to gather us this morning under his wings, as he wants to fill us and protect us and let us know his love. Are you willing? Are you willing to be covered and loved and protected and to know Jesus' compassion so that you can have compassion for other people? Because that's what it's about. It's having our hearts broken for the lost, just as Jesus has his heart broken for us when we were lost, just as he calls us and gathers us. And you know, the heart is not a symbol of love, for I don't think it's any surprise, I guess, that the heart, we use a heart as a symbol of love, because it's love, it's Jesus's love that transforms us, that enables us to have a heart of flesh, that enables us to respond to God's call to love others as he has done, to be compassionate and loving, to be broken. But we can't do that by ourselves. You know, we can't just choose to love. Because if you've ever tried, it's really hard to do. We have to allow God to do it, to love us, to teach us to love others, to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to love others. You know, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they had the law which called them to love. It called them to be just and righteous, to care for the poor and the needy, to love God above everything. And they knew God, and they knew God was with them and for them. And they had abundant experiences of his provision and his protection. And yet they were unable to keep his law. They were unable to have soft hearts and to love. They needed God's help to do it. They needed God to give them a heart of flesh, as Ezekiel tells them God is going to do. And God does this by sending Jesus, by demonstrating his love for us, the embodiment of perfect love, to model perfect love in his life and in his death, so that we know what love looks like. And then, so that we can feel it and experience it truly and live it in our lives, he sends the Holy Spirit, that we might be filled and enabled to have that heart of flesh and to live out our lives. The passage that we heard says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. But before we have a heart of flesh, before we can love, we need to know that we're loved. We need to really experience God's love for ourselves in order to fully become what he calls us to. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. We need to know God's love before we can be God's love. And we know that this is true. Psychologists tell us this, that once our basic needs are met, and if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs there for a minute, once our basic needs for food and warmth and safety are met, we need to know we are loved. We need to know that we belong before we can really thrive and become anything. I remembered, as I was writing this, as an early Christian, being told about the orphanages in Romania under Ceausescu, where babies and children were cared for, they were looked after, but they were literally put in cots and fed and left there. And they were cleaned and they were left there. And they did not thrive. They did not grow. They were restricted emotionally and physically. And it's because they weren't loved. They weren't held. They didn't know. We need human contact. We need love from birth. And problems arise. And we know that in the real. So how much more in the spiritual? And I think you know it. Think about it. Think about how you feel when you know somebody loves you. What does that do to you? When you know, think about somebody who you know really loves you. What does that do to you? How does that make you feel? And now think about when you don't feel loved. How does that make you feel? We flourish and we thrive when we are loved. And God loves us so much. And he wants each one of us to know that. To know that we can be transformed by his love. That we can flourish and grow and become all that he created us to be. And he wants us to know this in our hearts, not just our heads. He wants to know each one of us individually, to know that we're loved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We know that truth. We've taken that truth on board. But you know, sometimes we know it, and we know it for the world. God so loved the world. God so loved everyone. But we don't take on board that God so loved Amanda. God so loved Bethan. God so loved Boppy. God so loved Mewa and Tim and John and Chris and everyone else so much that he gave his only son. That if you had been the only person, he would still have died for you because he loves you that much. So I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And we're going to say this verse again because I know you know it. But instead of saying, so love the world, I want you to put your name in that. Okay? So we're going to say, so for God so loved Amanda that he gave his only, one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. How does that make you feel? Rhetorical. Were you even able to say your name? Now there's a challenge. Could you put your name in that passage? Or was it far too touchy-feely for you? And she's just going off on one. You know, for some of us, for many of us, knowing and acknowledging and feeling God's love is really, really hard. We live in a fallen world. We have imperfect parents. We are imperfect parents. I'm an imperfect parent. And so often we equate love with performance and an overemphasis on works. Our whole society equates love and good things with achievement, with doing over being. You know, the message is always work hard, do this, do that, and you will get. I mean, how often as a parent do you say to your child, and hopefully you never did, I'm sure I did though, you know, if you do this, mummy will love you or daddy will love you. It happens. We do it. Rather than saying, I love you because I love you because I love you. And if we need to be loved to love, we need to know, because we're called to share God's love with others, to demonstrate who he is as we live out our lives in the world. So we need to know God loves us, and we need to know his love fully and really and deeply. And God loves us because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. And when we know this, when we're full to overflowing with his love, our hearts become soft and compassionate and loving. But we need God's help. We need his Holy Spirit in us to come, to live in us, to soften us. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. And be careful to keep my laws. And you know, it's so interesting that the passage that we heard is followed by Ezekiel 37. Okay, and when it was written, they didn't have chapters. So it flowed. It would have flowed into Ezekiel 37, which is the valley of dry bones. And God breathing his spirit and bringing life to an army that then go out for him. Putting flesh and muscle and sinew onto dry bones. This picture of God's Holy Spirit, his Ruach, breathing life, love, power. This continuation of this idea of God changing us, bringing us to life with the power of his spirit and allowing us to live. So I'm going to do something really touchy-feely now. I'm sorry. I want to invite you all to be restored, renewed, to have a fresh touch of God's Spirit if you want to have a first touch of the Holy Spirit if you've never really experienced it before. And so what I want God to come and to let you know that you are loved and precious and cherished, to fill your heart, to soften your heart, that you might be loved and you might love others. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you are able and willing. And I'm going to invite, Mary's going to come up and she's going to sing over us. Okay? And I'm going to invite you to hold out your hands as if you're receiving a gift from God, as if you're receiving a present from, so you have to hold your hands out to get a present. So I want you to hold out your hands. And if you think you can stay balanced, you can close your eyes as well and just listen. And I'm going to invite God to come and to pour out his Spirit upon you, to let you know how cherished and how loved, to transform your heart from one of stone into flesh, or even more flesh, to restore and to renew and to let you know that you are loved. So, Father, we stand and we offer ourselves to you afresh. And we ask that you would come in your power and that you would make yourself known to us, that your Spirit would come and fill us anew, would let us know how much you love us and who we are created to be.